Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of most things culturally considered. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. This week I'll be talking with playwright Basil Crimmendahl, whose absurdist play Sidewinders receives its world premiere, which opens the Cutting Balls Theater's 15th season. Director Graham Smith will also be part of our conversation. Female impersonator Randy Roberts shares details about his musical appearances at the Alcove Theater and at Martuni's. Plus music previews of this weekend's San Francisco Friends of Chamber Music's 6th annual San Francisco Music Day, a musical feast happening at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. Do stay with us. That's the music of Grupo Falso Baiano. They'll be performing Brazilian music this Sunday as part of the extravaganza that the San Francisco Friends of Chamber Music are putting on. It's the 6th annual SF Music Day, live and free, this year featuring Latin American connections. My guests, Marta Rodriguez Salazar. Marta is a singer, flutist, and conductor, as well as a producer. She's been bringing Latin American folk, classical, and contemporary music to the Bay Area for more than 15 years. For her outstanding leadership in promoting and developing the presence of the Mexican community in the Bay Area, among other awards, Marta was recognized as a luminary by the Mexican consulate here in San Francisco. She was born in Mexico and classically trained in both Mexico and here at Mills College across the Bay. As a concert flutist and opera singer, she's a faculty member of the Community Music Center, where she directs the annual Mexican musical La Posareta. Pasarela, rather, and she also works with the San Francisco Symphony as the curator for its annual Dia de los Muertos celebration. Marta, a pleasure to welcome you to KLW Studios.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Sure. Well, she's also joined by cellist and producer Hannah Adario Berry, who is helping to produce the event. Hannah works with the San Francisco Friends of Chamber Music, and I mentioned is a classically trained cellist. Welcome to you, Hannah.
Thank you, David.
Sure. We heard some wonderful music to start off, the Grupo Falso Baiano. We'll talk about them as well as some of the other events that are going on, but this is going to be quite a production. Let's talk first about how it all started. This is the 6th annual San Francisco Music Day. It's designed to invite people from the community to experience a full day of music. How did it start?
Well, you're right. It's a fantastic free offering to the community, and we've presented these events at different venues each year, and it's just grown exponentially in scope over the last 6 years. We started at Temple Emmanuel back in 2008, and we've since then we've held events at Old First Church and at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music 2 years ago. at the De Young Museum, and last year was at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, where we had, I think, four or five different stages, and more than 1,500 community members came out to listen. So the audience has just been greatly appreciative, and it's an opportunity to hear dozens of fantastic local chamber groups of all genres.
Sure. Have past years had a similar unifying theme, or is this fairly new for the festival?
This year, I think, is the most specific as far as our thematic programming, mm-hmm. and perhaps we could have Marta talk a little more about what that programming is.
Sure. Marta, why don't you tell us how this got started for a Latin American theme for this specific year?
Well, you know, the call came, together with Hannah. I do have an ensemble as well that we are affiliates from the San Francisco Friends of Chamber Music, which is a fantastic organization that supports small ensembles in chamber music. And so for a couple of years, we've been invited. But then Dominic, the executive director, Dominic Pelletier, called me saying, hey, you know what? I think Latin American music would be great to feature this year. And, you know, I'm thinking that perhaps you could help us and develop a theme, around it. He approached me as Latin connection. And so then I thought, well, let's make it more inclusive. Let's put Latin American and also have connections as part of the theme, as such the case that not all of the ensembles that are going to be playing this weekend are particularly playing music from Latin America, but the composers or pieces are going to be somehow inspired by the topic. You know, if there's a composer who was inspired by the work of Carlos Chavez, Mexican composer, then it's going to be featured. And so that's why we thought it would be more inclusive and interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's not just about the music, though. There's some panel discussions going on and workshops as well.
Right. You're totally right. You know, we're trying to make this a fun event where people could be able to go inside the conservatory, have fun, and, be able to learn as well. I mean, there's going to be a panel discussion with six Bay Area artists that actually not all of them musicians. There's going to be a dancer, writer, and theater director. And we're going to be talking about themes like our important, like what does Latino mean? What does Latin American art influence in the Bay Area is going on now in comparison to 10 years ago? And, topics like for me as a Mexican musician being born there, coming over and just, being fitted into this category of Latina. I mean, what does that mean? Right. Mm-hmm. And then also we have fun things for the family. We have a petting zoo for kids. The Community Music Center is going to bring some fun things there, and kids are going to be able to play. There's going to be a marketplace as well. But maybe Hannah can talk more about that one.
Sure. Let's talk about the marketplace.
Yeah, I'd love to. The Music Marketplace will be a space where there's a number of local presenters and concert series promoting their upcoming seasons and talking about what offerings they have in the different neighborhoods within San Francisco and all around the Bay Area. So that will be throughout the day on Sunday from about 11:30 in the morning through closing time at 7 p.m. Additionally, the petting zoo that Marta described, I just want to clarify, it's an instrument petting zoo, so kids can come and try instrument.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There will be no animals inside the conservatory this time. Outside the conservatory...
Well, wasn't the sham called the snake or something, the Baroque instrument, the sham? There are connections in some way there.
Well, there you go. outside the conservatory, we also have a small food truck plaza. We have two wonderful food vendors coming to offer tamales and chorizo and many other delicious offerings and beverages. And so people will be able to spend the whole day and not get hungry.
Very nice. Well, let's talk about some of the delicious music that we're going to be hearing. It's such a breadth of music being offered. And two words that don't usually go together in my consciousness is Mexican Baroque. Let's hear some Mexican Baroque music that we'll actually be hearing on Sunday.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
That's music of Juan Gutierrez de Padilla, Mexican Baroque composer. Marta Rodriguez Salazar, tell us a little bit about Juan Gutierrez de Padilla. I don't think of Mexican and Baroque in the same sentence usually.
You are right, and that's fascinating. I mean, you know, when I came to this country, I think I learned more about my music from the cathedrals of Mexico, Puebla, here, through these organizations called the Instituto Pro Música de California, and they have a Coro Hispano de San Francisco. And it was wonderful to be able to just to get to know composers such as Juan Gutierrez de Padilla, who came over to from Spain to Mexico, spent all his life in Mexico in the Cathedral of Puebla, and composed enormous amounts of choral music, instrumental music. This particular one that we heard right now, it's a villancico, it's a Christmas carol. But, you know, after that, he was really one of the most amazing composers and teachers. He taught a lot of Mexican composers how to write in the style of, that's why we call it Mexican Baroque. And then later on developing a different style.
And this weekend, who will we be hearing performing that era of music?
We have that group together with their instrumental group. It's the Coro Hispano de San Francisco. It's mostly singers. And then there's the Conjunto Nuevo Mundo, which is mostly instrumental. We also have a Farallón Recorder Quartet. They're going to be playing some recorder music of that era as well. We have Musa and Jaren Sounds, who also are going to be doing some Baroque music. And Vinachesi Ensemble, who are going to be singing also some, actually, Gutierrez de Padilla and other composers of the Mexican Baroque.
Very nice. Now, the Quinteto Latino, friends of mine, and that wonderful ensemble, including another flutist, Diane Gruby, good friend of mine. They're involved, I'll mention later in the hour, with their own festival of Latin American music at Old First Church. But they're also performing as part of this celebration on Sunday.
Right, right. We have we're lucky to have them over. And, you know, also we are so excited that this weekend, if you really want to know more about Latin American music, this is it.
This is the weekend.
They're going to have this wonderful thing. And then they're going to be playing definitely on Sunday. And they're going to be also playing some new commissions of, I think it's an Argentinian composer they're going to be premiering.
Mm-hmm. We have some music of the Quinteto Latino, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Let's hear a little bit from the Quinteto Latino that you'll hear this weekend. Virtuoso playing by the Quinteto Latino, music of the great Mexican composer Carlos Chavez, is solely number two. The Quinteto will be performing on Sunday as part of the San Francisco Extravaganza Music Day, free and live at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. The Quinteto will also be performing on Sunday, Saturday. Yes, more information at oldfirstconcerts.org, a full festival of Quinteto Latin American Chamber Music Festival. But let's get back to what's happening on Sunday, for the most part, here at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. And my guests, Marta Rodriguez-Salazar, who's the curator of the entire day, as well as Hanna Adario-Beria, who's helping to coordinate the many other events that are happening there. Hanna, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the emphasis that you're having on young emerging musicians.
Absolutely. On Sunday afternoon, we're starting one of our three concert halls, one of our stages, with a couple of hours that we're calling Next Generation. We have about seven ensembles, collegiate and pre-collegiate, from various schools and training institutes around the city who will be performing. So some of the students that we'll be hearing come from the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, both their collegiate chamber music program and their preparatory chamber music program. We have some performers from the SF Jazz High School All-Stars, students from the Ruth Asawa School of the Arts, Afro-Cuban Jazz Ensemble from SF State, and the San Francisco State University Chamber Music Ensembles as well.
Fantastic.
So we'll get to hear a broad range of young, talented musicians performing.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the coordination factor of all of these ensembles and the spaces. It must be daunting. I hope you have a crew of some hardy and helpful people.
We've got a lot of people working hard to pull this off this weekend, and I think it's going to be a fantastic couple of days. I want to mention also that most of the events are happening on Sunday, but we actually also have a Saturday evening event this weekend as well. So,
and what's happening on Saturday evening?
It's a performance beginning at 8 p.m. and we have, I think, about six or seven performers that evening, so of our 35 ensembles.
All with the theme Latin American Connections. Now, Marta, I'm wondering about your own performance aspect. In addition to curating this weekend worth of things and to emphasize, you know, happening on for the most part on Sundays, these other events on Saturday, it's not just this weekend. You guys have been working for months to make this all happen. But in addition to curating the event, Marta, you're a flutist, as I mentioned, fellow flutist, I like
yes.
to say. And you'll be performing as part of the event. Which event are you taking part in?
Right. Well, I have an ensemble. It's called the Bernal Hill Players. We are four musicians that rehearse in Bernal Heights. And we have been, our intention has been to commission new composers to compose for our topic of, first it was San Francisco, so, you know, five, six composers compose for different neighborhoods in San Francisco. And then our second tier of our project was music from Mexico City. And we commissioned a composer, Guillermo Galindo, who's Mexican, lives in the Bay Area. And he got inspired by a neighborhood in San Francisco, in Mexico City. It's a market, Mercado Sonora. And he was totally out there. He said, oh, no. I really need to compose something about this market, but totally deconstructing it. There's going to be some elements of Mexican music, but then it's going to be all like falling apart. You're going through the stalls of the market, and then you're going to hear it.
So this is music performed by Marta Rodriguez-Salazar. Who are we hearing with you?
It's Bernal Hill Players, and it's called Espacios Mercado Sonora by Guillermo Galindo.
Thank you.
An excerpt from Guillermo Galindo's Espacios Mercados Sonora. Among the players there, Marta Rodriguez Salazar and the Bernal Hill Players. They'll be performing on Sunday at 1 o'clock as part of the SF Music Day Live and Free Latin American Connection. Some wonderful playing there, Marta.
Thank you. I'd love to hear
the rest of the work. Is that the piece that will be played on Sunday?
Yes. Yes.
Very nice. Espacios Mercados Sonora. I feel like I need to put in my Fernando Lamas.
No, well, hey, very outstanding good pronunciation.
Well, born mimic, what can I say? It was thanks to your help on that one. So that's part of the Sunday concert. We should just mention also that among the other groups, the Quartet San Francisco, the Grupo Falso Baiano that we heard earlier, it's just an amazing day of, actually 2 days if you count the Saturday evening concert. The Saturday evening concert at 8, starting at noon on Sunday, this Sunday, and going until 7 o'clock, a number of concerts and ways to participate, a marketplace, food trucks that can you take a little break during one of the intermissions and get some food right outside the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. All the information at sffcm.org.
Can I mention, you know, just what to expect? I mean, you're going to come and have three different stages and ensembles performing for not more than 20 minutes. So you will be able to roam around and try to find what the ensemble you like. And it's short and free.
Short, informal, and free. I like that.
Right.
Very nice. We're going to hear another great performer that's going to be on Sunday is John Santos. So tell us about his participation in the event.
Well, I mean, we were very, very lucky to have him accept our invitation. I mean, he's a pretty outstanding performer, Grammy-nominated musician, and he's going to be performing a 45-minute set at 12 o'clock on Sunday of Afro-Cuban music. And so please come over because he's going to be actually the one starting the whole festival on Sunday.
Marta Rodriguez Salazar, this SF Music Day curator, and Hannah Adario Berry, who's helping coordinate the event. Thanks so much for taking a little time with us today.
Thank you. I wish
you a wonderful weekend of some fantastic food, music, and fellowship. Let's go out with some music of John Santos. Here it is. instrumental music from the John Santos Sextet, which will be starting things off at noon on Sunday, part of the SF Music Day, live and free Latin American connections at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. More information at sffcm.org. The Cutting Ball Theater opens its 15th season with the world premiere of Sidewinders by Basil Crimmendahl. Co-founded by theater artists Rob Melrose and Paige Rogers, Cutting Ball Theater presents avant-garde works of the past, present, and future, and this certainly fits into that category. Joining me to talk about Sidewinders is the director of the show, Graham Smith, who's making his Cutting Ball debut as a director with Sidewinders, and playwright Basil Crimmendahl. Welcome to KLW Studios.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Basil, let's start with you. Could you give us just a brief synopsis of the show? It sounds really fascinating.
Yeah. It's a play. I say that it's a play about people living in the in-between. And it mainly follows two characters, Dakota and Bailey, who find themselves literally stranded in a strange land that seems uninhabited to them. And it's sort of their journey. It's a play about gender queerness, and in the play, literally Bailey doesn't know what sex they are, and it's sort of their journey through this land and Bailey's journey to figure out what they have.
Okay. Well, what was your inspiration for the play?
Well, I read Faulkner's A Light in August, and in that novel, there's a character named Joe Christmas, and Joe Christmas doesn't know their history, their ethnicity, and wherever they find themselves, the people around them make Joe whatever they want him to be in that moment. And so I thought that was a really interesting idea, to have who you are decided by the people around you.
Hmm.
And so for Bailey to literally not know what gender they are and have the rest of the world put that on them and have to make that discovery themselves, make that choice.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you classify yourself as a queer playwright then?
Okay. Definitely.
So is this some of this coming from your own growing up or your own experiences or just trying to seek out who you are?
Well, I do. I consider myself genderqueer, and I do think that that's something a lot of queer people or genderqueer or trans people have to come to at some point to make that, find who they are and make that choice, and live in that choice, not just make it, but live in it.
Mm-hmm. Graham Smith, you're making your Cutting Ball debut with this work. How did you come by this Basil's work?
Well, I've been working with Cutting Ball for a while in directing some of the readings that they have there in their different reading series, and they shared with me Basil's script when they were considering it for their Risk Is This Festival, which is a festival of stage readings that they do every February, and they were real keen on me to work on it as a kind of workshop and a staged reading, which was so much fun. And, you know, they bring the playwrights out for that process from wherever they live. So I got to meet Basil, and we just had so much fun together, kind of getting to know each other and working on the process of putting that reading together, that and then the audience really responded to the work that we did, and so they decided to kick off their season this year with this play.
Terrific.
Full production.
Yeah. Tell us about the cast that is making up Sidewinders. Did you partake in the casting process as well?
Yeah, it was a very involved casting process.
Yeah.
it was really important to us that all of the actors were queer actors, and so that the kind of authentic perspectives of the full kind of spectrum of the queer community and queer experience were represented on stage and voicing and creating these characters for the world premiere, which is kind of neat because, you know, we have one actor, Donald, who was like Cleve Jones's roommate, you know, way back when,
oh,
at
wow.
the very beginning of like the Harvey Milk kind of moment in San Francisco. And then kind of our youngest cast member, Dave End, is part of Michelle T's Sister Spit kind of tour across America, doing kind of poetry slam readings and stuff. So I kind of feel like in between those extremes, you know, we have this fantastic spectrum of cast members.
Oh, and you have this, just noticing the cast list includes Sarah Moore, who's
yes.
just terrific. What a catch you got for that.
Yeah, one of our most important clowns here in the Bay Area, just really doing a fantastic job in this show.
Mm-hmm. So Basil, this is the world premiere of this work. How did you decide to stage it? Here you are on the stage of San Francisco and, a very important pride-filled city. Is this a minimally staged? Are you using anything iconic or anything identifiable that would say, oh, this is where we are? And is it set in a particular place?
Yeah, Graham and the designers, we knew we wanted it to be grounded in, because it's so absurd. So the setting is definitely feels Old West, and it has that kind of scenic quality to it. It's very minimal. The costume is somewhat period. So it's definitely, the play takes place in an Old West sort of feeling, and we really grounded that with the design.
Not exactly the place you would think of having a identity crisis for gender.
Sure.
Yeah, that's one of
so do you play with that a little bit? Or?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main concepts of the play is that it's a new frontier. And that was sort of one of the impetus for creating the piece was that with all of the gender exploration happening right now, all of the names we have for things, it is like a new frontier. And how does that change? What is, we could create that any way we want it to be, and what do we want it to be?
Mm-hmm. I think with you know, if you look at the, you know, fantastic Western films in this country, you know, I loved watching a lot of John Ford movies while I was doing research on this play. And one of the things you notice about John Ford films is there's always all these characters in his Westerns that have these really thick Irish dialects. And like, well, is that really like a Western trope? What is that? And I think one of the things that Ford was really interested in is showing how the West in America and the frontier is a place where people kind of get to stake their claim for their identity mm-hmm. group and kind of remake America and kind of expand the image of what America can mean and what an American can mean. And so kind of come into the frontier was a way that a lot of minority groups kind of established their claim on the future of the country. So in that sense, I think this is part of that legacy.
Right. Yeah. That's Graham Smith, who's directing Sidewinders by Basil Krimendahl. Basil, so give us a little bit of insight into your creative process for this play. Is this your? Have you written plays before? How did it? Did it workshop? Did you run it by some friends or other professionals to get it smoothed out?
Yeah, this play I actually wrote while I was in grad school at the University of Iowa, getting my MFA, and we had workshop there. We had a workshop production there, all to kind of service just getting the story together. And then after that, I submitted it to Cutting Ball, and we did Risk Is This reading, which is where I met Graham. And that was an amazing experience. I felt we were so in sync, me and Graham, that, I mean, he just understood the text and understood the momentum of it, the music of it. So it's just, that was a great experience. We went a little further in the text. We added, cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is running through November 17th. Are you farming it out? Are you putting it out to other possible performances elsewhere, or is it being submitted to other festivals?
I'm always open to that.
Never knows.
Yeah. I'm just focused on this right now.
Of course, of course. Yeah. And what's happening after this for you?
Well, right now I'm a Jerome Fellow at the Minneapolis Playwright Center, and we will have workshops there. I have some work coming up with a couple of other theaters around the country, mostly development, another production coming up soon.
And Graham, I imagine you step down from the director's chair after this, but continue work at the Cutting Ball?
I hope to work some more at the Cutting Ball Theater. I'll be directing a few other plays around the Bay Area this season. So I'm looking forward to those next projects once this is over. But for now, this is all I can focus on. It's a few days away right now, so yeah. I'm excited.
And Basil, how long are you staying in town then to witness your baby being born?
Luckily, I get to be here for the next 2 weeks through opening. So I'll be at all the previews and all the rehearsals and then opening night. And then I have to fly back to Minneapolis for that very night's something at the Playwright Center.
Have you spent some time in San Francisco before?
Yeah, I came out here in January for Risk Is This, and we had a summer workshop for a week together, and then I came for the first week of rehearsal teaching at the University of Iowa, so I wasn't able to be here for the whole rehearsal, but I'm here for tech and preview.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I hope the run goes wonderfully. I'm looking forward to seeing it. That's Basil Krimendahl. She is the playwright for Cutting Ball Theater's world premiere of Sidewinders. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And Graham Smith making his Cutting Ball directing debut with Sidewinders. Thanks again, Graham.
Thank you.
The play itself opens October 18th through November 17th, playing at the Cutting Ball Theater at Exit on Taylor Street. For tickets, you can visit cuttingball.com. It's sure to be a journey to getting right side up, and, get an absurdist Western romp through gender queerness if you catch Sidewinders at the Cutting Ball. Again, cuttingball.com for more information. An appropriate segue from a segment on gender queerness and confusion may result if you catch my next guest's act. It's difficult not to slip into double or triple entendre in introducing my next guest, Randy Roberts, given that the New York Times has called him delicious and at the top of his game, while the Arizona Daily Star calls him luscious. Well, let's just say that your musical taste buds may be titillated if you catch Randy Roberts live at the Alcove Theater near Union Square or at Mark Tooney's coming up. The Randy Roberts Show is an all-live multimedia tribute to some of the world's most loved performers, including Cher and Bette Midler, as well as Golden Age actresses like Mae West, Joan Crawford, more contemporary Carol Channing, Ann Miller, Phyllis Diller, including his own tribute to Gypsy Rose Lee and a striptease that leaves, let's say, little to the imagination. Randy, welcome to Open Air.
Hi, thank you.
So when did you start first impersonating people?
Well, I was putting on makeup to go to elementary school one morning, and I thought their hat... thank you. I have been performing, I guess you could say, since I was 5 years old. I was in the Temple Israel Thanksgiving Day pageant at five. I had my one line, turkey again. Oy. I've been a bit of a ham since I was five and performing
since
then.
Turkey and ham, it goes to well.
Turkey and ham, yes. Since I was 5 years old, and I started doing actual impersonations around 18.
Mm-hmm. When did it start to move towards impersonating women instead of family members or people you've seen on TV? Or was it always on the female side?
The first time I dressed in drag, it wasn't full drag, there was no makeup, but my sister kept her nurse's uniform in my closet in my bedroom, and I thought one day, that looks like that might fit. And I closed the closet door and I put on the nurse's uniform, and the next thing I hear is my mother knocking on the door. Randy, come out of there and take your sister's nurse's uniform off. Okay. So she knew.
So your mom actually had you come out of the closet?
But more than once.
Okay.
So to speak. I was never actually in. I don't think there was ever a doubt.
Blue, what's this blue blanket doing on my crib here?
Blue, please. Wear some bead sequins. A little bling, please.
Well, one of the mainstays of your act over 20 years has been Bette Midler and Cher. Let's hear a little bit of you as Cher.
If you insist.
Does he love me? I want to know. know. How can I tell if you love me so?
I think there's been some sort of mistake. That was supposed to be Randy Roberts. I think we must have had the recording of Cher singing the Shoop Shoop song.
Aren't you sweet?
Very nice.
And thank you.
Sounds like you had to, hearing her voice, when she sings or when you do, it sounds like her mouth, you've contorted it in exactly the right way to get the Cher sound out. Good for you.
Thank you. I never... thought of it as contorting my mouth, but I guess in some ways I do.
That's exactly right. Or do you just put crazy glue around your mouth to keep everything that tight?
Oh, no. Even crazy glue couldn't keep my mouth shut, trust me.
So Cher, part of the act. Who else do we see on
right
stage?
Now, in this show, I've got Cher. I've got Bette Midler and two original characters. I have a Latin showgirl named Consuela. She's a Jewish Cuban that came over from Cuba many years ago. She's a... her forte is bastardizing the English language, I guess you could say, and takeoffs on songs. She's very funny. And then my own, I guess you could say, alter ego, Randy Roberts. And that's a lounge act, per se. I get to do some great songs that I found and interact with the audience. It's when I can really drop the fourth wall totally and really go out with the audience.
Okay, so we actually hear Randy Roberts not as someone, but as Randy Roberts.
Yes.
Can we hear a little bit of that, too?
Oh, if you insist, let's see what we can come up with.
Here I go again. Hear those trumpets blow again, all aglow again, taking a chance on love. Here I slide again, about to take that ride again, starry-eyed again, taking a chance on love. I thought the cards were a frame-up, try, but now I'm taking that game up, and the ace of hearts is high. Things are mending now, I see a rainbow blending now, we'll have a happy ending now, taking a chance on.
Voice of Randy Roberts as Randy Roberts, taking a chance on love. Some lovely sounds there, Randy.
Thank you very much.
So we'll be hearing Randy Roberts live, and Randy Does San Francisco at the Alcove Theater on October 10th. Already
Maybe
starting.
I should
through...
have rethought that title.
Does San? It could take you a while, I think.
Well, Randy Roberts live does San Francisco.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I
don't have enough energy or time to do San Francisco. Thank you.
Running through November 2nd at the Alcove. Also, yes. A limited engagement at Martuni's on Mondays, the 21st and 28th at 7 p.m.
Right, with the great Tammy Hall on piano.
Nice. Tammy's a super player.
Isn't she?
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more. You must have quite a trunk of costumes that accompanies these characters.
I have a garage in Key West of costumes. I have multiple costumes for every character, and then backup costumes for the multiple costumes, and then the just in case. And then you add to it my Randy Roberts character, who can wear anything he wants to wear. So there's Bob Mackie gowns and Naeem Khan gowns and one-of-a-kind pieces by Christopher Peterson, a friend of mine that's an incredible designer. I have probably 100 ensembles just for him.
Your tax preparer must love you in terms of
adores
little tax deductions that you have in this garage.
Oh, I write off just about everything. But, excuse me, my corporation, I don't really make very much money. You know, I'm I'm a poor, starving artist, and the corporation doesn't do much better.
And it's in Barbados or something as well, the corporation? Or is it?
Well, actually, it's in Florida.
All right, that makes more sense.
I'm American, thank you.
Speaking of Florida and people that you performed with, you've also performed with full orchestras, the Key West Orchestra, as well as the Orchestra of St. Peter's by the Sea. That must be a different experience.
It was great. I did the Key West Pops, the Key West Symphony. I also worked with the Thayer Symphony up in Massachusetts, which was really great because I did basically my act with a 60-piece orchestra. And there's nothing like doing Cher with a full orchestra behind you. And the audience there, I would say they skewed a little on the older side, so they were used to seeing her show, just not quite as tall or quite as male as my version might have been. It was wonderful to have the live music, because I'm so used to working with my tracks, which are all original tracks. I don't use karaoke tracks. I have them made by a wonderful man in Las Vegas. And I'm used to having the music come through the speakers next to me instead of 60 pieces behind me and all that energy coming through. That's one of my favorite things.
Any of those appearances coming up in the horizon?
No orchestral ones right now. I do have March 3rd in Key West, which is only a 16-piece band. I'm doing a show called That's Entertainment 4. I produce them every year or every other year. And this one is, I always bring in some out-of-town guests. And this time I'm bringing in Brent Barrett, who Chicago on Broadway, Dance a Little Closer, Grand Hotel, George Dvorsky, who did Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Scarlet Pimpernel on Broadway, David Burnham, who's going to be at the Starlight Room here in San Francisco the weekend after I leave. He was also in Wicked and Light in the Piazza, and David Boodle, who's another well-known performer in Florida. And they're the four of them and myself doing a show with a 16-piece band.
Very nice. We talked a little bit about the vocal imitations you'll be doing, personifications and embodiments, shall we say. What about the classic acting actors, actresses of Hollywood? How do you work them into the act?
Well, I'm not really doing them right now. I did Joan Crawford, but I did a new play called Bitch Slap, which is the story of the making of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I played Joan Crawford, another gentleman played Betty Davis, and a woman played Hedda Hopper. So you become the character. That was fun.
Oh, my.
That was so much fun. So the classic ladies really aren't in it as much right now. A little line or two may come out, and I may inhabit them for a moment. But
you are in that chair, Blanche. I'm sure that must
Thank
be
you, Betty.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, Betty.
So tell me, you've been doing this over 20 years, 30 if we count the yeshiva in the early days.
Right.
How do you add,
oh, what I can do with a talus.
Do you add new characters or have you lost some characters given that?
I have lost some characters along the way. I don't do Phyllis Diller anymore. Some people still know who she is. I do. I adore her. I think she was wonderful.
No, I grew up with that era of television.
Joan Rivers is in and out. I mean, she's popular right now, but she wreaks havoc on the voice. Putting that sound, can we talk? You know, it's right up in, it's in a strange place in the voice and it wears me out. So I don't do her quite as much. Oh, just that little bit. Mae West may come back because even though everyone might not know who Mae is, you get it's the character and the attitude. And I take songs.
Combination of Mae West and Jan Wall, I think.
How funny is that? And Mae wears a hat as well. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan. Hope you're listening.
Yeah.
Love you.
I hope so. She was divine. I was on her show last summer.
She's a riot.
Mae West is still fun, but I always try to pull out a song that wouldn't be a Mae West song. I did Mae West singing When You're Good to Mama from Chicago. So that adds it. That brings it a little more to the forefront. I used to do Ann Miller, but I'm not tapping anymore. My body says no. It's getting to that point now that I'm... What is it my friend Vera says? I'm built for comfort, not speed. And I don't want to tap that fast.
So what's coming up after your San Francisco performances?
I've returned to Key West. I'm at La Ti Da in Key West for 6 performances. Then I fly to Palm Springs and host Dancing with the Palm Desert Stars on November 22nd.
You poor dear.
I know. Then the next morning I fly to Puerto Vallarta and I'm at the Palm Cabaret for 10 days.
Can I carry one of those trunks of music or the costumes?
The question is, can you carry that trunk? And then from Puerto Vallarta, I have a gig in Worcester, Massachusetts at the Union Station Terminal. They're turning the train station into a cabaret. So I've done that once before, and it works out great. And then back to Key West for a while, and then I'm back in Puerto Vallarta in March.
A very busy schedule for you. That's great.
You can't hit a moving queen.
Randy Roberts live does San Francisco. Is at the Alcove Theater on Mason Street through November 2nd. on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 9 p.m. Information at randyroberts.net. Also at Martuni's for the next couple of Mondays at 7, the 21st and the 28th. Martuni's is at 4 Valencia Street at Market Street, if you've never been. Great place to have a martini or two.
Yes.
And they do call one of their martinis a martini.
Martini. Just, well, I think everybody calls the third martini a martini, please.
What is it? I always like to say Herb Cain's, and this is probably appropriate for a female impersonator, is saying that martinis are like a woman's breasts. One is not enough, and three are too many.
I like that. I may borrow that.
I might need to add an extra falsie for that gimmick.
One in the back for dancing.
More information about Randy Roberts' appearances at randyroberts.net. Let's go out with some more music, shall we?
Yeah, a little Jerry Herman. This is A Little More Mascara from La Caja Fall.
Thanks for being with me, Randy.
Thanks for having me.
And my old sense of humor has up and gone. It's time for the big switch again. I put a little more mascara on. When I count my crow's feet again and tire of this perpetual marathon, I put down the John seat again and put a little more mascara on. And everything sparkle dust, bugle beads, ostrich plumes, when it's a beaded lash that you look through. 'Cause when I feel glamorous, elegant, beautiful, the world that I'm looking at, beautiful too. When my little road has a few bumps again, and I need something level to lean upon, I put on my sling pumps again, and wham! This ugly duckling is a swan. So when my spirits start to sag, I hustle out my highest drag and put a little more mascara on. And everything's ankle straps, marabou.
A little more mascara. Music of Jerry Herman from La Cage aux Folles. Being sung, no doubt, by Randy Roberts as part of his act here at the Alcove Theater. More information, again, at randyroberts.net. Well, moments from now at 2 p.m. in Davies Symphony Hall, conductor Jan Pascal Tortelier leads the San Francisco Symphony in works by Dvorak, the Seventh Symphony, Berlioz's Roman Carnival Overture, and Schumann's Piano Concerto with Martin Helmchen as soloist. Those concerts will be repeated on Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. Speaking of a matinee on Sunday, you might want to catch Bryn Terfel starring as Verdi's Falstaff across the street at San Francisco Opera. Also on the semi-operatic side of things, Waffle Opera presents Bach's Coffee Cantata and Pergolesi's La Serva Padrona at First Congregational Church tomorrow, October 18th at 7:30. A reception afterwards living up to Waffle Opera's founder's statement, which states that fine singing, acting, and breakfast foods were even better when offered up together. It's a great weekend for Latin American music, as we heard earlier with my guests from the San Francisco Friends of Chamber Music and the SF Music Day on Sunday at the Conservatory. Again, sffcm.org for full schedule. In addition, my good friends that make up the Quinteto Latino are in the midst of presenting a full week of the Quinteto Latino's Latin American Chamber Music Festival. It's been taking place in various venues in San Jose and San Francisco. It culminates Saturday with a full day of activities, conversations, and concerts at Old First Church, Sacramento, and Van Ness. OldFirstConcerts.org for more information. The Play Out Davies Instrumental Workshop happens on Sunday afternoon at 6:30, Sunday evening at 6:30. It's sold out, but you might want to register ahead for the spring events, great events that you're working with the San Francisco Symphony Musicians in Workshop. There's a Winds and Brass workshop in April and a string workshop in May. You can go to the San Francisco Symphony, sfsymphony.org website for more information on that. And my dear colleague Sarah Cahill will be in performance Saturday evening at the Center for New Music, 55 Taylor Street. The program is entitled Modern Piano Lineages, and she'll be appearing with pianist-composer Adam Tendler. She'll perform a set constructed around selections from Hans Otte Das Buch der Klänge, or the Book of Sounds. Adam Tendler will be performing works by Robert Palmer, Philip Glass, and others, including his own work called Hate Speech for piano and audience cell phones. Now, that work is a protest piece dedicated to the memory of Matthew Shepard, with whispered words called from a Tea Party politician's Facebook page. And you can hear a lot more about Adam Tendler and this work in specific, in particular, this evening at 7 on Out in the Bay, as Adam will be a guest of Eric Janssen's. At a good source for more information on their Saturday evening concert, as well as the others I've mentioned and many other cultural events happening around the Bay Area, can be found at the San Francisco Classical Voice website, sfcv.org. As always, I welcome your suggestions for open-air segments. You can email me at david@kalw.org. At klw.org, you'll also find past broadcasts of Open Air if you're so inclined to have a listen. I'm David LaTulipe. Thank you for joining me.